Can you hear me?
All right. I always think my voice sounds weird on a mic. Has anybody else experienced that? It's strange. That's enough out of you. Well, it's really good to be here today. What a beautiful Sabbath day. It's good to see everybody. I was chuckling to myself when I saw the schedule. I don't know if the rest of you know Mike Wiesman, but I think they decided to have a couple of heavyweights show up today. What do you think? I think they picked the two biggest guys in the whole congregation to speak to you today. So we appreciate that recognition, whoever made that decision. So buckle up. This is going to be a heavyweight bout today. You know, whenever I know I'm going to be speaking to anybody about anything, really, I'm always trying to prepare myself to speak to the audience. You know, who am I trying to speak to? And this is the most challenging situation for me to try to do that, because I'm seeing people in this room that I know the scriptures way better than I do. And I see people in this room that I know need to have a hunger for the scriptures way better than you do. And so I'm hoping today to be able to speak to each and every one of you. But if that doesn't happen, I'm sure somebody else will throughout the remainder of the feast. But specifically, I'm really hoping to speak to those that are maybe younger in the faith today and maybe searching for a real foundation for, you know, what am I doing here? Now, maybe you don't have to be young in the faith to be searching for that. I know there's people that have been strong in the faith and have sort of had questions about, what am I doing here? You know, Jeff asked us the other day when we first got here, he said, you know, why are you here? And this year he said, you know, this is why I'm here. In a little more 2017 vernacular, this is how I'd say it. What are you doing here? That's what I'd say to myself. I was holding up the mirror. What are you doing here? So I'm hoping today to give us all a little better feel for why we're here and why you should be here. Because I believe that we should be here. And with that, I also want to talk a little bit about another premise that I have and that I'm coming to this talk with. And I know you're probably not all going to agree with me on this. I'll be happy to talk to you about it later. But the premise is, you don't have to do anything. You get to. Okay? That's my premise. I don't have to do anything. And believe me, I've spent most of my life telling people that. I don't have to. I'll do it if I want to. I'm really glad to be here. I want to be here. So let's start off. I don't have a ton of time today, so we're gonna cruise through this pretty quick because I want to make some specific points. We're going to start off in Hebrews 10, verse 23. 10:23 in Hebrews. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So we are here to encourage each other, right? That's one of the reasons why we're here. We are assembled to encourage each other. Who doesn't need encouragement? I don't see anybody raising their hand. We need to remember that when we get together. I believe the scripture is true. And there are so many promises in the Word of God. And I think a lot of times, I know for me personally, I forget some of those promises. Or maybe I don't see them being fulfilled in my life in the time frame that I think they should be. Does anybody else ever struggle with that? Right? You say, well, it's right there. It's in the Word. God, what's going on? I think I've done everything that I'm supposed to do, and this isn't happening in my life. The Word of God is true. And if He says it'll happen, it'll happen. And I want you to, if you don't have that grounded deep in your soul, figure out a way to ground that deep in your soul, because it's the truth. If God says it, it will happen. So let's go to Romans chapter 8. Starting in verse 28. Romans 8, 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who were called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. You know, sometimes in our life, it doesn't feel like all things are working out for good. Huh? Sometimes life can be a little bit of a challenge. So I want to unpack this verse just a little bit. You know, he says, to those who love God. And I bet everybody in these two rooms feel like we love God. And maybe feel's not the right word. Maybe we know we love God. And maybe sometimes we still don't think things are working out for good. And what is his purpose, by the way, in 8:28? What is the purpose of God? Romans 8:29 tells us the purpose of God. To become conformed to the image of his Son. He's building a family. And he wants us to be like his Son, Jesus. So in order to meet this qualification, to have all things work for good, we have to love God, right? That's what it says. Well, how do we do that? How do we love God so that all things work for good? It's really not that complicated. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. And verse 3. And I say it's really not all that complicated. That I'm almost talking to myself when I say that, because I make God complicated. And then when I really get on my knees and spend time asking for his guidance, when I get my nose in the book and he shows me the truth that I've been seeking, it's not that complicated. It's me that complicates it. So let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Oop, I got the wrong one here. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and that his commandments are not burdensome. That's pretty simple. So, what does it mean when he says his commandments are not burdensome? You ever think of the Sabbath as a burden? I bet if we're all honest, we'd all say yes. That's probably happened to us a time or two. Or maybe many, many times. But it shouldn't be. Because you know what? You don't have to be here. You get to. You get to. So God gave us 10 commandments, and there's other law, and I'm not actually going to go into all of that today. Today I want to focus on the Sabbath, because today's a Sabbath. It's a Sabbath in the midst of two high Sabbaths. There's like 52 of these this year, and there's 8 of the other ones. There's a few Sabbaths every year that God wants us to get together and to worship him and to encourage each other. And I think sometimes we think the Sabbath can be a burden. Sometimes this world gets in the way. Sometimes I have to study, or sometimes I, for college, I'm thinking college. Also, a little more background. I have 3 young adult children, and I have a grandson now, too. I have 3 of my own young adult children. I have a new son, who's my son-in-law, and I have a grandson. So that's a little bit of a perspective, too, of where I'm coming from most of the time in my thinking. I want to lead and guide my young adult children so they don't do the stupid things I did, so they can maybe be a little further ahead when they get to be my age than I am. That's part of my goal. That's part of my focus. So let's talk a little bit about the Sabbath. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12. I'm going to read a few verses here. I'm going to start in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12. And we're going to go down through verse 20. He says, "Also, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, and they rejected my ordinances, by which if a man observes them, he will live. And my Sabbaths they greatly profaned. Then I resolved to pour out my wrath on them in the wilderness, to annihilate them. But I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations before whose sight I had brought them out." I want you to think about that for a minute. He didn't do it because they didn't deserve it. That's not what he says. They clearly deserved it. He says he didn't do it for the sake of his name. "Also, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into any land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, because they rejected my ordinances, and as for my statutes, they did not walk in them. They even profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart continually went after their idols. Yet my eye spared them, rather than destroying them, I did not cause their annihilation in the wilderness. I said to their children in the wilderness, 'Do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, or keep their ordinance, or defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and observe them. Sanctify my Sabbaths, that they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God.'" So God gave us these days as a sign. So let's talk a little bit in 2017 vernacular. What is a sign? We have them all over the place. If I go to my home screen on my iPad here, I've got icons all over the place. Those are signs. Every one of them means something to me. Sometimes if I'm driving down the street, I might see a yellow diamond-shaped sign with a no, with a U and a line crossed between it. No U-turn. Is that the sign? God's saying, "Hey, you called me Lord. No U-turn allowed. You can't change your mind now." Is that the sign? No U-turn. I think of a stop sign. I have a stop sign at the end of the dirt road that I live on. And you know what? I think it's broken about half the time. I'm just kidding. It only works half the time. Is that what you think of when you think of a sign between me and God? You know what? That's kind of where my mind was on this. I don't think I really understood what he's saying to me. What's he talking about? It's a sign. Well, this is a pretty big deal when I started figuring it out. The Strong's Concordance says that it is a signal, literally or figuratively, as a flag or a beacon, a monument, an omen. But it comes from this other word. And it means properly to come, to show up. That's cool. So think about that for a minute. This is the God that created everything. I don't know anybody that's cooler than him, do you? And he says, "I'm going to show up on the Sabbath. I'm going to show up every Sabbath. And I want you to show up too." Now, I think that's pretty cool. He says, "I'm going to show up 8 other times a year. And I want you to show up too." Now, he doesn't say, "I'm going to show up on Wednesday or Tuesday." He says, "I'm going to show up on the Sabbath. And that's when I want you to show up too." So if I had an appointment, I'm a businessman. And if I want to do business with a CEO of a, I do business with a lot of hospitals. If I want to do business with a hospital and I finally get an opportunity to have an appointment with the CEO of that hospital, guess what? I'm showing up. I'm going to be on time. And I am going to be prepared. Because I want that account. That's why I'm there. What are you doing here? Are you prepared? Are you showing up for the appointment? Because your God is prepared. I guarantee it. Every time. Every Sabbath. And he's been doing it a whole lot longer than we have. And I don't think he's tired of it yet. I don't think it's routine for God yet. So, next time you hear that, the Sabbath is a sign between me and God, between you and God, because you keep the Sabbath, just remember what God's saying is, I got an appointment with you, and I'll be there, and I'll be on time. And I think that's pretty cool. And that's new knowledge for me. And so I hope that something new for you too. You know, my clock here is keeps shutting off, so I want to make sure. All right. All right, let's go to Isaiah chapter 58. I know you're all familiar with this chapter. We're just going to read this whole chapter. There's a lot of good stuff in here, but I want to set the stage for the last couple of verses of this chapter. But let's just listen to this. Just think about what's going on here. This is God. He told Isaiah to go talk to his people. And I think we all would consider ourselves to be his people. So I think God's talking to us. So if you can, put yourself in the shoes of the people that Isaiah is talking to right now. He says, cry loudly. Don't hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgressions and to the house of Jacob their sins. That's God telling Isaiah to speak like that. Yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways. You know what? Time out. I'm going to switch this. I'm going to read this in the Message version of the Bible. And I know the Message version of the Bible is not a study Bible. Okay? I know that. It is a great story Bible. And if you don't have one, I encourage you to get one and read through it as a story. But have your study Bible next to it because he misses some stuff. I'm going to read this in the Message Bible. Shout, a full-throated shout. Hold nothing back, a trumpet blast, shout. Tell my people what's wrong with their lives. Face my family Jacob with their sins. They're busy, busy, busy at worship and love studying all about me. To all appearances, they're a nation of right-living people, law-abiding, God-honoring. They ask me, what's the right thing to do? And love having me on their side. But they also complain. Why do we fast and you don't look our way? Why do we humble ourselves and you don't even notice? Well, here's why. The bottom line on your fast days is profit. You drive your employees much too hard. You fast, but at the same time, you bicker and fight. You fast, but you swing a mean fist, a kind of fasting you don't want to get your, the kind of fasting you don't want to get your prayers off the ground. Do you think this is the kind of fast day I'm after? A day to show off humility? To put on a pious long face and parade around solemnly in black? Do you call that fasting? A fast day that I, God, would like? Is this the kind of fast day I'm after? To break the chains of injustice? Get rid of exploitation in the workplace? I'm sorry, I missed that. Let me start over on verse 6. This is the kind of fast day I'm after. To break the chains of injustice. Get rid of exploitation in the workplace. Free the oppressed. Cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering, ill-clad, being available to your own family. Do this, and the lights will turn on, and your lives will turn around. At once, your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. Then, when you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help, and I'll say, "Here I am." If you get rid of the unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossiping about other people's sins. If you are generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in light. I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places, firm muscle, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of past lives to build anew, rebuild the foundations from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins, rebuild and renovate, make the community livable again. That sounds pretty cool, right? That part sounds cool. The first half doesn't sound so great. We don't like to think about that maybe we might fit into that category. Verse 13, if you watch your step on the Sabbath and don't use my holy day for personal advantage, if you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day is a celebration. If you honor it by refusing business as usual, making money, running here and there, then you'll be free to enjoy God. Oh, I'll make you ride high and soar above it all. I'll make you to feast on the inheritance of your ancestor Jacob. Yes, God says so. All right, that's the Message version. I'm going to switch back to the other version I was reading, which was the New American Standard. But I want to talk a little bit about the first 12 verses in that book, just a little bit. Because I don't want to dwell on that, because I want to encourage us today. But I encourage you to take some time to think about your life and the decisions you make when it comes to God's holy days and when it comes to God's Sabbath. What are we doing? What's our focus? Why are we doing what we're doing? What are you doing here? And maybe take that from this room, from this Sabbath, from this feast to your life. What are you doing here? What's the point? It's not to get the new iPhone X as soon as I get home. That's not what you're doing here. I liked how the Message says you're busy, busy, busy. I talk to people, "How are you doing?" "I'm busy." Why? Slow down. That's a choice. That's a choice we make. So I want to talk a little bit now about 13 and 14. In 58:13, he says, "Call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, speaking your own word." That word delight there in that verse means to call it a luxury. It's pleasant. Do we do that? Is the Sabbath a luxury? Is every holy day that God gives us a luxury to us? I got to be honest. There are times when I have to say, no, I don't do that. Sometimes I'm there because I have to be there. And guess what? I don't get much out of it when that's my attitude. It doesn't do me much good. And in turn, I'm not doing anybody else any good when that's my attitude. Down in 14, he says, "Then you will take delight in the Lord." That's a little different word. It's the same word to us, but it means to be soft or pliable. So, okay, wait a minute. What's he saying to me? He's saying, if you show up on my day and you call this day a delight, I call this day a luxury, then I'm going to be pliable. What do I need to be pliable for? Because I'm a human being and my nature is against God. It will not conform. But if I keep showing up on the Sabbath, God's going to make me pliable. He's going to change me. And I can tell you what, I am not the same man I was 20 years ago. And anybody that knows me knows that's true. And I'm not putting myself on a pedestal when I say that in any way, shape, or form. Don't do that, Becca. You're going to make me cry in front of everybody. So I would encourage you to take those two verses, get your Strong's Concordance out, or whatever Bible dictionary you use, and look and drill down on those two words, delight. And understand that on this appointment we have with God that he shows up to, every Sabbath, we're going to show up and we're going to get excited about it. Or maybe you don't like that word. Maybe you're a subdued person. But just be ready. Be prepared. Show up. Have you heard the term suit up and show up? What about your first day on a new job? Did you know what you were going to do? Most of us didn't have a clue. But we suited up and we showed up. And we kept suiting up and we kept showing up. And what happens? Pretty soon you know what you're doing. And you get better and better and better. And then you get a promotion. Maybe that's part of what we talked about at the very beginning of this. What's the purpose? To make us like Jesus Christ, right? And you get better and better and better. We're going to be priests in God's kingdom. We got to know how to do that. He's just going to wave his magic wand and all of a sudden, poof, you know what you're doing. I don't think it works that way, personally. We got to learn. We got to study. Talks about riding on the heights of the earth. Can you get that picture up there? Thanks, Tabor. That's a mountain that I love to go to and visit. It's called Sand Mountain. It's just a little over 12,000 feet. It's in Colorado. Tabor took that picture. That's my son. Tabor took that picture about 2 weeks ago. We were up there. When I read this verse, it makes me think of that mountain. It makes me think about being on the heights of the earth. I'm not going to have enough time to develop this as fully as I wanted to, so I'll make this quick. But I love getting to the top of that mountain, because when I'm up there, Tabor, can you give me the next image? See those things on the right? Those are dirt bikes, and I love riding on the heights of the earth. I love doing that. But I don't think that's what he's really talking about here. I don't think he's excluding that. It doesn't exclude that, I don't think. Go to the next image, please. Sometimes when we're up there, it's hard. That was 2 weeks ago also. Sometimes when you're in high places, you run up against a lot of hard challenges. We got snowed on. It was slippery. It was wet. But we stuck together. And we enjoyed ourselves. Go to the next one, would you please? That is a real picture from the top of Sand Mountain. And that's a, for me, that's the height of the earth. Now, I know there are lots of mountains that are taller than that. That's not the point. That's a tall mountain, and that is an awesome, awesome view. Thank you for those images. You can just leave that up there. Maybe that'll help you remember. Next time you read this verse or you think about riding on the heights of the earth, what he's really talking about is power and authority on this earth. And he wants to give it to us. He's not going to give it to us until we know how to handle it. He's not going to give it to us until he knows we won't abuse it. The heritage of Jacob, the inheritance of Jacob. Let me read that real quick. Let's go to Genesis 58. I'm sorry, Genesis 28, verse 10. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head, and he lay down on that place. And God, and he had a dream. And behold, a ladder was set on earth. Sorry, my timer worked. It went off. And a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth. And you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. If you're taking notes, you could write down Deuteronomy 32, 9 through 14, and 33, 29. Those are other good verses, actually a little better than this, for talking about the heritage of Jacob. God wants to give us that. That's part of us keeping the Sabbath. Calling it a delight and becoming pliable so that he can mold the nature of his son into us. But in Genesis 28, 15, he says, behold. Now, okay, time out here. 2017 vernacular. All right? This is like, dude. You grab your buddy's face and you get him to look right at you. And you're saying, listen to what I'm saying. That's what God, I think that's what he means right here. Hey, pay attention. Dude, I'm talking to you. Listen to what I'm saying to you right now. I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. He's talking to us. He's talking to Israelites. He's talking to the sons of Jacob. And I think we're all spiritual Israelites here. So we get together on the Sabbath to encourage each other. So we can rejoice. If we love God, he's going to cause stuff to work for us, right? If we obey, that's how we love him. We obey. He's going to cause stuff to work for us. God's going to keep his appointment. God suits up and shows up. We need to suit up and show up every Sabbath. We need to turn our foot from doing our good pleasure and change our perspective on what's a luxury. And he'll make us to ride on the heights of the earth and feed us with the heritage of Jacob. I truly hope God blesses you for the rest of this Feast of Tabernacles. Thanks.